Hey, this is Nicholas Prendon. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
Oh, is it my turn? Oh.
Yep.
Season 5, Episode 10, Into the Woods. Certain that Buffy doesn't love him the same way he loves her, Riley finally decides to confront her and offer one last opportunity to give up their relationship. No, to give their relationship a chance. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
Go.
Maddie. You can do it.
Go.
Shoot. Sorry. I didn't unmute my mic. I'm like, why didn't they hear me? I just said, this is their job. And everybody was quiet.
I didn't hear it. I was like,
that's my favorite part of any podcast. When someone who's being awesome it's and muting their mic forgets to unmute themselves. Welcome, Nutty.
Hello.
Luchas.
That was season one pronunciation. How's everybody doing? It's been a long time.
Well, I've decided I like Merlot better than Sauvignon.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Or Pinot.
I have some wine upstairs. I might have to go up and get some. But I'm enjoying jelly beans and some water.
That's almost like wine.
if you put the jelly beans in the water and let it sit there for a while.
Exactly. So, I'd like to take a moment and say something that's actually very serious, and I would just like to take the opportunity to address all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If ever I have offhandedly or just in inadvertently or even possibly semi-advertently offended anyone of our listeners or treated them unfairly, or if any of you have felt as though I have perhaps unfairly criticized you or berated you in any way, shape, or form on this podcast, I would like to apologize with heartfelt regret. And let everyone know that listens to us that the point of this podcast is to have a good time. And if ever anyone is singled out and you feel like maybe we weren't being playful and we were in fact being harsh and unfair and wronged you, shoot us an email. We'd like to know and we'd like to apologize.
So did anything happen? Hmm? Or is this just in reaction to something that's like unrelated to us?
This is, you know, on a podcast I listened to, something happened and I called the person out and kind of requested and suggested they apologize, and they didn't apologize. They were actually even more hateful.
Well, we on our podcast, we make these decisions, and you know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal, but when we make these decisions, you know, we stand by them, and we just don't understand when people just act crazy, and we just don't understand it.
So that's that. Jamie,
see, I thought
awesome.
You were about to go into a whole, like, you were being Xander and the listeners were Anya. And so I started giggling at the beginning because I thought you were doing a shtick.
No. Holy shit, snacks. No, I wasn't.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to be very clear. I'm actually serious about this. If any one of our listeners have been offended by anything I've said and you felt that I've treated you unfairly or I was a big douche, please let me know, and I apologize retroactively. All right.
Me too.
Can we talk about one of the greatest episodes of television ever?
Oh, my God.
Can we do that right now?
The day we've been waiting for a season and a half.
I don't think it's coincidence that the episode in which Joyce mentions the Lord is an episode in which miraculously
this is divine intervention.
This is divine writing. Divine end of douchebaggery.
Wow.
Yeah.
And can I just say that
you're a believer.
The way hey now, I just have jelly beans, never not wine. Never. The way in which the writers allowed us to, if we weren't already against Riley, really, really, really hate him, was fantastic and so over the top.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was so melodramatic.
Oh, it was so knots landing. It was great.
Yeah. Well, the conflict that I have is I'm wanting to be peppy and cheery and celebratory, but the episode is so melodramatic that it's like, you know.
It's super cheesy.
Yeah.
Did you say cheesy?
It was super cheese, but I understand it. But at the same time, yeah. I was a champion of this episode. I was like, oh my God, Riley's the greatest. And then I was only, like,
if only we
God,
could hear you say that.
Even better.
If only there was a way to travel back in time and actually hear you exclaim those things while
I
you were
know,
watching.
Right?
If only.
If only. I was wondering when the parade would start at the end of this episode for all the newbies.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure every one of you were cheering at the end of the episode.
Well, apparently Gabby was crying.
Oh my God. Oh
good.
My God.
She has a soul.
I could not stop, and I watched this episode twice, and I had given it enough time in between watchings thinking, I know what happens. I'm not going to get upset. Oh my God, I cried for the last 3 minutes of the episode and then continued to cry for another like 10 minutes after the fact.
Why were you so emotional?
I don't know! It could be PMS.
Did you wait exactly one lunar cycle in between watches?
It could be. It's been a while.
Interesting.
Yeah, it could be, or... Oh my God! What Xander says to Anya is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard ever. Yeah. And it made me cry. And I would love somebody to say that to me someday.
because I
want somebody to think that way about me.
As soon as Xander did his little speech to Buffy and was like, you better go after him, I was like, oh my God, everybody go tell the person they love that they can't live without them. And then he was
Xander so much. I love him. Ladies, only dogs can understand you right now.
Everyone, I love them always.
So let me bring in my baritone for a moment. I think this is baritone, I'm not sure. But I have to say something. Stephanie, I must interrupt you. I apologize, but I must.
Go.
Was I the only one that was expecting a switcheroo? And that when Buffy went running for her love, she would show up at Spike's crypt?
Yep. Oh. I totally thought that.
I so wanted that to happen. I wanted that to be the most amazing, unexpected ending.
What were you smoking?
Yes, huh? What were you smoking?
Oh, come on. Those two are going to get together.
Were you drinking?
He's disgusting.
What?
He's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's a sniff freak and he's stalking her and he's entering her bedroom without knocking and stuff. But come on. They're perfect for each other. Am I right?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's back up. Okay. Let's talk about Xander.
Yep.
Season 4, Xander is trying to find his way, and he's settled in construction. He's found his way. And then this season, you can see that he's dealing with how does he actually feel about Anya, other than, you know, they're very sexually compatible. Yeah. But other than that, you didn't really know where he stood. And I think he's finally decided – where he stands.
Does this mean he's done being a hipster doofus?
Maybe.
So, okay. I don't know where this is going.
I'm so happy that they let him have this episode. Mm-hmm. Because he's always just been there for the comic relief and always had the snarky thing to say. And I thought him and Anya were getting pretty comical to the point of nausea, but not like in a cutesy way. And I'm just so glad he had this moment. And I was just like, oh, interesting. Great.
Okay. Go back to Primeval when, when the Scoobies joined into one body to defeat Adam.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Giles was the brain? Come on, help me. What was it? Buffy was like the body, and Willow was the...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's talking about how they made Voltron, where Buffy the body, you know, she's got the strength, and Willow's got the magic, and Giles has the knowledge, but they need Xander because he's the heart.
Yeah, Xander's the heart. And this, like, goes against your expectations because you don't expect the male of a group to be the heart. It's always the female is the, you know. So this, like, subverts your expectations.
Well, right? It's funny. I was watching this episode and my husband came in and he said, "So, what's Xander's power again?" And I was like, "He doesn't have powers." What do you mean? Well, he sees things and he can talk to people because he doesn't have powers to distract him. So he knows what's going on, but no, he doesn't have any powers. It was pretty
Giles
funny.
Giles doesn't have a power.
He has the therapist power. He has the Oprah power.
He does.
The Oprah power.
Okay, so Joyce has her surgery.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, Joyce. Joyce is back to being Joyce.
Shouldn't there be more hair shaved off?
Hey, I think so. They're cutting corners at the hospital, all right?
Sorry.
It's probably they're probably so hard done by they allow the patients to shave their own heads.
Not really. They just shave the part where they do surgery because I saw someone today that just had part of
every time skin. I've seen Grey's Anatomy.
Plan.
And the guy from that movie with the car.
Christine?
No. You know, Patrick Dempsey. He's in that movie with the car.
The one where, what is it? You Can't Buy Me Love?
Oh, great.
The one you're thinking of?
It was the one from when he was even younger. License to Drive? Was that him?
That was a Corey.
Oh, that was a Corey movie.
Yeah, that was
never
a Corey.
Mind. So the guy that is advertising cosmetics for men on TV, when he's operating on someone's brains.
He shaves the whole head.
Isn't the whole head shaved?
Pretty much almost every time.
I mean, I don't want any stray hairs in my brain.
Well, this was the 90s or the early 2000s. I didn't know.
Early 2000s, yeah.
Well, Joyce wanted to keep her hair. That's so D.
But, she didn't want one of those horrible lost wigs.
You mean, or the wig that looked exactly like Buffy's hair that she, I mean, Buffy's hair that Buffy was holding?
Yeah.
That was amazing. And Dawn is there, but luckily she leaves after, what, two or three scenes?
Oh, thank God, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, poor Dawn.
Mm. She gets no respect from me.
If I never, ever, ever see her say boink again, it'll be too soon.
Oh my God. Was it the 1970s and was I watching an episode of...
The Brady Bunch?
Three's Company with the word boink. Really? Really? Really?
Well, you know, Gabby, it's really kind of... It's really kind of... No, that's more Goofy than Mr. Furley.
Wow.
My Mr. Furley and my Goofy are like the same.
Gosh.
Yeah. Come on, it's the same character. Well, I don't know, Jack. I mean,
It sounded like Mr. Limpet, sort of.
Nah. Damn it! I'll never be a worse world-class impressionist. I mean, impersonator.
Yeah, that was awful. She's awful. She's not supposed to be there.
She isn't really.
She's not a real girl.
Yeah, so I know Joyce has survived, but I'm holding on to my theory.
That she's going to die?
That, no, Glory's going to give, I think there'll be I think there will be complications.
Oh, and Glory, the ultimatum, choose her Glory or Glory is going to give
a Buffy's choice. Yeah. Choose your mama or your pretend sister.
So Riley is sneaking out in the middle of the night. Remember how Buffy snuck out in the middle of the night to go see Dracula?
Well, to go hunt.
Yeah, to go hunt. Not to...
And then to go see Dracula.
Yeah.
Doesn't the episode, the Dracula episode, seem like 4 years ago?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That's remember, because like, it was 4 years ago.
What the heck happened? I couldn't remember. Then I was like, oh yeah, that was the season 5 premiere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's been stupid. So long.
He was drawn to her darkness, and remember, she said, "How do you want my darkness now?" And
a lot of Vader.
Oh, the Dark Master.
Vader.
So, can we just scroll back? Can we go back a little bit?
Uh-huh.
And discuss how awful a sex scene that was.
Oh, I don't remember because I zoned out.
It was the worst.
I laughed at Buffy's face, but
oh my god, I really should have grabbed a still of that face and then put it next to a still of the face of Riley when they first had sex. And see, because
really,
you know,
the hottest thing in this episode was when Spike showed up in Buffy's bedroom and she was asleep.
Yeah,
proceeded. You mean, and she was naked.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Spike, who was outside, of course, smoking.
Uh-huh.
I'm jealous. It's been like 54 days. Anyway, the idea here of Spike just standing out there stalking a window, not even peering in. He's just standing on the sidewalk next to a tree. It's what he does. He's out for a walk. Bitch. And then the idea here is that he's about to leave, and then Riley starts walking out, and then Spike decides to follow him into the den of sin. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Amazing.
What did everyone think of the crack house?
Fantastic.
It was the greatest.
It was like, whoa, am I watching an episode of Angel? This is not your kids show, let me tell you right now.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised at that, but I liked it. There we go. My microphone fell.
Oh, what about Graham in the military?
Ugh.
The army invited Riley to join them. There's a demon tribe taking apart missionaries in Belize. No experiments, only stop them. High risk, low pay, messy, midnight the next day.
Now, hold on. That is the worst way to phrase that. Midnight tomorrow. Okay, what is that? Do you mean like tonight at midnight? Yeah. Or midnight tomorrow when it becomes a day after tomorrow? When should I be there?
That's why the military usually doesn't say midnight. You know, they tend to use military time.
0 hour.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that came after Buffy saw Riley.
Right. Right. And let me tell you, those sweatpants.
Ugh. Do we all have a pair? I don't.
Sweatpants.
She has no shame. She's the Slayer. I figured it out.
What?
So, the idea that Spike exposed Riley in this fashion to Buffy What are our thoughts? I'm thinking it's kind of douchey.
Well, that's how Spike operates.
Well,
he uses what he has.
I know, it's just kind of... kind of see his point, but it was kind of, you know, it really hurt Buffy, and I kind of, you know, you kind of see in his face that he kind of almost regrets showing her that when he sees how she reacts. I mean, I loved every second of this. Every single second of this was absolutely fantastic. It was, I thought that I did not, I didn't have the slightest thought that they were actually going to get rid of Riley in this episode. I thought if this was going to be some long drawn out, he's going behind her back and getting bitten by vampires, and all this stuff. But no, it's like the pacing in this episode was really unexpected. All kinds of stuff happening. I was a huge fan of the moment at which she literally is in the same room as Riley and his vampire whore. It's like fantastic. Oh my God. And then she runs away. Which I guess, you know, it's normal. And anyone find it interesting that when she gathers the Scoobies up to go and defeat this quote unquote nest, that she neglects to mention that her boyfriend was cut there?
Yeah, I wonder why. Was she ashamed?
I would be. Of having Riley as a boyfriend.
Well, a couple things. So I think, well, Spike was being, it was like, it's part of that whole, like, dick swinging contest thing between him and Ron. Now that he knows he, or thinks he loves Buffy, he has to, like, one-up Riley. So, hey, Riley's doing something bad, I gotta show him. But if she didn't, if he didn't show her and just told her what was going on, she wouldn't have believed him. She would have thought it was just complete bullshit. So he had to, and it's not like he's got a camera and he's running around taking pictures like a, you know, whatever. But I'm like a perv stalker at the Y. Or whatever. But I'm like, yeah. So I think that was his thing. But I don't know. I think maybe he was, he did feel bad because I think he wanted her to be pissed off, but not be as hurt. Yeah. As she actually was, and that probably made him feel bad.
I get that.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Hello.
Hello.
Yep.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I couldn't hear you for like 5-10 minutes, and I'm like screaming out, and you guys just kept talking. I was like, they're ignoring me.
Go ahead and interject, Kim.
Kimberly turned into Marcy from The Invisible Girl.
Marcy Kim.
But as far as the Buffy not mentioning anything to her friends, it's like, I don't know. Maybe there was some in the back of her mind, there's some twinge of hope, like, well, maybe we can get through this. Or it's embarrassing. You don't want to be like, oh yeah, my boyfriend's a total dick. He was cheating on me with, you know, even though he's going to look like a jerk, it can, you know, you don't want to look like you're that girl and you didn't see the signs, you know?
Have any of you ever had a friend who you found out their partner was cheating on them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, no. Now imagine you were interested in that person. Okay. Now you have to, you were interested in the person who was being cheated on.
Oh, okay.
That's Spike's position on this whole situation of, do I tell her, do I not tell her? If I tell her, they break up. But if I tell her, then she's hurt and all of that nonsense. And I'm 100% sure that Buffy was ashamed about what Riley was doing, and she didn't want anyone knowing because it would reflect on her. That's how she was thinking. Because, you know, what did she do wrong? Why didn't she do everything for him that he needed to go to get a vampire crack whore to bite him, you know?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that angle with the whole everybody she sleeps with, something horrible happens to. Either they blow her off because he's just a scumbag looking to enter undies, or they go evil, or they want to be bitten by a vampire whore because that's more of a rush than having sex with her.
Which, by the way, doesn't surprise me.
No, I've seen the footage. And
Let me tell you.
Who's worthy? Let's just
the,
say.
The fear on Riley's face when he first had sex with Buffy was much greater than any fear he may have been feeling when that vampire was sucking his blood. So, you know, maybe Buffy's not very good. Maybe there is something wrong with her.
Okay, well, let's talk about the scene where, okay, you know, Riley comes in to Spike's crypt and he stakes him. And then and it goes to commercial and you think that he's actually staked Spike. But it was with a plastic stake.
That totally shocked me.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Oh, okay.
Okay, so Spike says that Riley is not the long haul guy. That there's no monster in his nature, and that's what the girl needs. And Spike knows that he has no shot with her. But who has the better deal? You know, Riley is so close, but he can't have her. He's so close. Yeah. But, I mean, I thought Buffy and Riley had a great relationship. I just thought that Buffy's just a little distracted right now because she has a lot going on in her family. Is it that Riley is not enough for her, that she craves darkness?
I think Riley is, I guess, somewhat typical in that he doesn't know how to deal with a woman in his life who isn't completely needy. Mm-hmm. And when the shoe's on the other foot, and now he's the needy one, he has an identity crisis. And I think that's what caused the schism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Riley just can't accept Buffy for who she actually is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole she's stronger than he is. Her life is more important than his. You know, she has a life's mission. And her goal, her life goals are really important. You know, one in every generation. This is a pretty big deal. It's really hard for anyone to stand up to that. And this has been Buffy's problem all along. I mean, in Angel, when he was human for like a day, he realized he couldn't even stand next to Buffy in regards, and he couldn't handle it. So, I mean, the fact that Riley can't handle dating a Slayer is not that surprising.
Yeah.
And for Buffy to be really happy with someone, she needs somebody who can love all of her parts, love her for her flaws, love her for her strengths, and be able to handle it all. You know, her family comes with the package. The Slayer deal comes with the package. Her taking you for granted sometimes may come with the package, because guess what? She's got other things that she has to deal with, not always you, you know? They're going to have to deal with Willow and Xander being really important to her. These are things that somebody needs to deal with, and Riley hasn't even scratched the surface of that.
Let me tell you about a pet peeve I have, and Buffy does this. When were you going to tell me? I'm telling you right now. I wasn't going to tell you 5 minutes ago, or I would have told you 5 minutes ago. I wasn't going to tell you 30 minutes from now, or I would tell you 30 minutes from now. I'm telling you right now, that's when I was going to tell you about it. What does that even mean? That my brain cannot even process that question. When were you going to tell me?
I think what they should be saying is, why didn't you tell me this sooner?
I think that's what they mean.
Basically, it's you've been lying to me because you didn't tell me about this. Now, granted, she doesn't know that he just found out as well.
Yeah.
What were they even talking about? Was this the army deal, the military thing?
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's leaving tonight.
Which is your typical, please have sex with me. I'm shipping off tomorrow morning.
This whole thing just upsets me. And this whole episode to me just seems like a big, fat, friggin' mess. It's all over the place. Like, to me, it seemed like Xander's attitude was all over the place. Buffy and Riley, all of a sudden, they're bringing up these issues and having this discussion and giving ultimatums. And it's just pure fucking ridiculousness as far as I'm concerned. It's just insane. And giving people ultimatums is complete bullshit. But by the same token, he literally just found out about the new position in, Costa Rica? Where was it?
Belize. A wonderful place.
Somewhere people go on vacations?
Yes.
Where there's some demon action going down?
They're probably in
it's just, I think Maya for their caves. Relationship, super bad timing, considering all this crap's going down with the whores and the blood sucking and the she doesn't love me or the I don't know if I love him. And I don't know. It was just like a big test of their relationship. It was just, I don't know, just ridiculous and all over the place, kind of like this ramble. I just can't handle it. And I still don't get, where his attitude about their relationship comes from. I don't freaking get it.
I really don't either.
I don't get it. And then her, and with her, I don't, and realizing that he's the one, but she's not sure, but not the one, but he, I don't know, he may be boring, mm-hmm. but, you know, if he was played right, he did seem like a, you know, a good guy that wants the best for her. But she's mm-hmm. obviously, yeah, she's busy and she's a slayer and she has all this responsibility. But she's a human being. She's a real person that has vulnerability. And yeah, every once in a while, you need to let somebody in and help you and comfort you. You don't, while your mother's in the hospital, I get it, it's important, and your imaginary sister is there, you don't shut the door in that person's face. You let them come in and help and hold your hand. There, I'm done.
Wow.
I agree with you 100%, by the way. Ultimatums do not work. They suck, basically. If you give someone an ultimatum, you're deciding, okay, it's over, and I'm going to make it your fault.
Yeah, they don't work. They do not.
No.
Nope.
No. Ultimatums are lame. They're lame ultimatums.
Ultimatums work because they free one person in that relationship.
Yep. Yeah, suddenly he's no longer a junkie. He's no longer the one to blame. He's no longer the one putting stress on Buffy. It's now all up to Buffy whether or not they can continue. And honestly, there's no way they can possibly continue, because even if she did live up to that ultimatum, he would always resent her, and he would he would never forgive her.
Right.
If you find yourself giving someone an ultimatum, just say, oh, okay, I guess that means we need to break up.
You can't make somebody do something that they don't want to do.
I can't make you love me if you don't.
Okay, and then there was this awesome scene that was like the climax of the of the action, where Buffy is cornered in the alley by all the vamps from the crack house. And she like stakes them all, and it was awesome. And then she's going to let the toss. I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, you go ahead.
And then she was going to let the female vamp go. She let her run. And then she threw the piece of wood and staked her. That was pretty cool. That effect of her dusting as she was running. Okay. Other than me talk.
I thought Buffy went really cuckoo bananas in this episode.
She did.
She didn't take this whole her boyfriend is sneaking around behind her back thing very well at all.
Well, you know what? I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Noxon wrote and directed this episode.
Yes.
And I think Marty Noxon is cuckoo banana.
Really? Oh, yeah,
she's never going to be on the show.
Oh, thanks, Steph.
Sorry, but it's true. She just seems weird to me. She's weird.
Where are you basing this from?
Interviews.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
This was like, her first directing, though.
Really? I mean, the episode was good as far as it did what it needed to do with the melodramatic and the mm-hmm. you know, it was successful in what it set out to be, but. She is the go-to romantic melodrama person. And then she was like the showrunner
I guess the next season, season 6. Right, Nooches?
I don't know about the showrunner. I could probably look that up. I didn't go past this episode in research. But I can tell you that she said this is our first episode that she directed. Of the experience, she says, it was thrilling and terrifying. I thought I was going to bolt the entire time. Because she wanted to run away.
Okay, so where are we at? Oh, and then Xander steps in and gives Buffy the big pep talk.
Yeah.
Well, that last scene, by the way, I just wanted to comment because I didn't want to comment before the newbies. The entire scene, though, of the fight and then her throwing the wood, it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very well choreographed. Lots of really nice effects.
Yeah.
Again, she's got a little bit cuckoo and lets that reptilian-looking vampire, yeah, the vampire crackhor go, and then javelin!
Yeah.
But I think that was another fake-out. We had a couple fake-outs this episode, and I think that was another one of those fake-outs where you're thinking, ah, Buffy, don't let her go. Yeah. And then she gets her.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I think that's exactly what I said. I was like, oh, you dummy.
Can I just ask those who have watched the whole series before, is it a spoiler if we find out if Buffy's arrested for arson? Or is that never going to come up?
No. Have we seen the police lately? I don't think I've ever seen the arson squad out there.
I mean, considering Riley blew up the whole mausoleum and how many times things have been set on fire in Sunnydale, they're not looking too hard. Arson is on their low priority of things to figure out. It's these corpses that have no blood because there's this guy going around killing everybody with a barbecue fork. That's a little higher.
Yeah. No one will ever know it's my barbecue fork. I'm just saying. Excuse me for a moment.
More jelly beans.
And water. Wine.
I got my water right here.
You know it's not water that you're supposed to be mixing with jelly beans, right?
I think I'm going to the same Bible study class as Riley and Buffy if this is how I think I'm going to turn water into wine. Jelly beans.
So Xander tells Buffy that she was taking Riley for granted. And so this makes him realize that he was taking Anya for granted.
They were both taking each other for granted.
Yeah.
Even she makes the comment about like, oh, well, you know, he'll be around when I need him or if I need him or whatever. He's a puppy dog. And
yeah, I can hang out with Riley anytime.
And I can hang out with him whenever.
Mm-hmm. You know. Give him the night off.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's my bitch. Blah, blah, blah.
That's right. That's right. The Slayer wants a bitch. Is there anything really wrong with that?
No. No, I don't see the problem.
As long as he knows that's what he is.
Well, I think that was his problem.
Yeah.
He found out.
All she had to do is say, but Riley, it's all right. You're my bottom bitch, so it's all good.
Oh my.
Do y'all remember in Doppelgangland, Willow becomes upset when she finds out Anya's plans and takes back her chicken's feet? I don't remember.
Yeah, she gets all upset and she goes, she's gathering her stuff to leave and she's like, and I believe those are my chicken feet. And she storms out.
In this episode, Anya and Willow have a fight that starts out over chicken's feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got way too many chicken feet, so Giles wants to give them away, one with every purchase. Or no, Anya wants to give them out at one with every purchase.
And then they give her a hard time, and I'm on Anya's side.
Yep. Honestly, when it comes to money, just let Anya make the decisions.
Anya should make all the decisions.
She's been around the longest. She should know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we didn't cover?
Let's see.
There's something at the beginning that I wanted to address.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really cute thing when they find out that surgery went well and Buffy crushes the doctor's rib cage.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cute.
And then everybody's hugging each other, and for some reason, Giles and Xander can't hug. Seriously? Because I'd think those two would be able to be confident enough in their own masculinity to be able to hug one another. That was kind of
sweet. I think it's because they're afraid that feelings might come back from season two.
What feelings?
Between Giles and Xander?
Yeah, wasn't there a gay episode in season two? No. When they got it on?
I don't think so.
Or was that just wishful Illyria, thinking?
That's the fan fiction you wrote?
Thanks for reminding me. I believe you're right. That's where I get that idea.
Zing.
It's only written in calligraphy on my office wall.
Love it.
If it exists, because I'm sure it is.
Rule 34.
I want to know if the newbies like really thought Spike was about to be dusted.
Nope.
No, but I was shocked that they even like joked at it.
Really?
Let's it talk just about this
completely
joke.
Completely caught me off guard because I was like, "Oh my god!" And then I was like, "Oh, he probably went like under his shoulder or something to scare him." But then, because of course it's Spike. But when they came back from commercials, like, oh, of course.
See, I wonder if that's something that you might have lost because you didn't actually have commercials. Because I remember watching it live, and my sister and I screamed. We were like, no, what? We were totally fooled when it first aired. And we had to wait, you know, five commercials to find out.
Yeah, these act breaks are fantastic because if I was watching live, I would not leave my seat. Because now my problem with television is every commercial, if I'm not watching it on the DVR and if I can't fast forward through the commercials, I will get up and walk around and do laundry and wash dishes, you know, and not come back.
Mm-hmm.
This I would stay in my seat. Now,
my next question is Spike's whole reaction to that is ow, ow, wait, not ow. When I see this, it just reminds me of the whole when Spike's originally turned by Drew and he's just screaming out through the entire thing.
Yeah.
This is when I started to notice that Spike is a wussy.
Mm-hmm.
He says ow like all the time. He's always complaining about getting hurt. And even when he's not being hurt, he's expecting to be hurt.
I bet you that chip barely registers, but he's such a wuss. Yeah. That it keeps him from being
like
violent.
A mild annoyance, but really,
it gives him like a tension headache, and that's about it.
Yeah, Spike puts on a good show.
Yes, agreed. There's no way that they were going to kill him off. He's awesome. No,
you can tell they have big plans.
I hope they have big plans.
Yeah.
I also noticed that it seemed like, and it's something that always bothered me, is how Xander treats Anya. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always telling her, no, that's not how we talk in company, sweetie, or you're doing this, or you're doing that. And, you know, Anya basically gets mad at Willow for treating her that way. Meanwhile, Xander's always doing that and kind of, like, pushing her around. And the whole bit where she says, you know, let's go home and have sex. And he's like, no, I got other plans.
When he said, nah, I got other plans, I was like, this better not be Xander trying to take the chance to be with Buffy because he knows something's up with
I didn't even think of that. Oh my god, I would have been even more aghast.
I was like, this better not be it. And then when he started doing his whole spiel, I was like, Xander is my hero.
And that's the whole thing. The end is the payoff. And I'm like, all right, you're forgiven for being a dick the entire episode.
Yeah. Why was he being a dick all episode? Like, what was his problem?
He's been increasingly more and more a dick to Anya.
Some men don't understand how to process the emotion of being in love with someone.
I think he was dealing with it.
They get extraordinarily irritable and crave chocolate. Hey, wait. And then once it dawns on them what's going on, it's all good.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe he was dealing with trying to sort out his feelings apart from his physical attraction to her. Mm-hmm. He was trying to decide if he was actually in love with her. Other than them just having a good time in the sack.
He's lucky Anya's got a thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Anya's apartment, gorgeous. Why did they ever go to the
Wait, they don't live together?
No.
I assume they live together.
Over at his house a lot.
Oh, so she has her own place.
Yeah, remember when he was getting his apartment when it's the two Xanders and she's pushing him to get the apartment because she doesn't want to hang out in the basement. And he's like, we could always go to your place. We don't always have to be here. True. And she just dismisses that.
Yeah, she's awesome. Sorry, I totally forgot she had her own place and didn't want him in it. No wonder there are so many pillows. It makes sense in a sexist way. All right. I think it's time for some feedback, yeah?
Sure.
Please.
Let's do some feedback here. I believe we have some audio feedback for Into the Woods, and then I think there's a shitload of Facebook comments.
Whoa.
So, here we go.
Hi, this is Angela, and I am going to talk about Into the Woods. Don't listen to this unless you've listened to Into the Woods. You have been warned. So, rather than getting a deconstructionist musical about fairy tales, we get Riley Rileying all over the place. And none of them are Darla, unfortunately. This episode bugs me so much. Rather than showing the natural death of a relationship between two people who need different things, the framing of this episode blames Buffy for not keeping her man happy. This feels like when women are blamed for husbands cheating on them because they were frigid. Ugh. Such a disappointment from Marty Noxon, and I can't believe Joss Whedon signed off on an episode with such a problematic message. Worse than Willow blaming herself for making Oz mad. Anyway, love the show. Keep those predictions coming.
Awesome. Thank you, Angela.
I mean, I could see that, because, yeah, I mean, I still, I'm on Buffy's side with this. She's busy. She's got things going on. It's not her fault.
She's more important than Riley's ego.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's a poem.
Ooh.
Love them.
This is from Claudine, or Claudine. A poem? No, seriously. Ah, potentials. Here we are at season 5 of Buffy and season 2 of Angel. You've come so far. I think I speak for all us minions when I say thanks for doing what you do. You guys are the best. To show my gratitude, I have written a poem. Well, I would love to recreate the magic of my Band Candy Facebook summary. I just don't have the time. Hopefully, this will suffice. And if, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, it was the most amazing Facebook themed Band Candy summary ever, and that was awesome. Illyria, would you do me the honor of reciting this if you find it worthy? Well, I don't know shit about poetry, so all of it's worthy to me. Preferably while wearing a beret. I no longer have my beret. I had to auction it off to pay for my taxes. Playing the bongos, nope. And willing the world around you to become black and white, that I can do. I'm good at that.
He's got spoilers. An Instagram filter. It's all good.
Spoilers for Into the Woods. Stop reading if you haven't watched yet. Thanks, Christine. All right. To the potentials, a beatnik homage. Potential, redemption, who, huh, what? Gak in the dark. S knows the sit. She's steering this ship, unless R is driving the car. Heavy, Buffy, heavy. Gone are the halcyon days of Monster of the Week, Oz, Cordy, Wesley, Wyndham, Price. In the library, looking in the books. Now Mama Joyce's head ain't right. Somebody got himself a vampire. Blondie Bear snitched. Into the woods, Captain Cardboard. Gone, baby, gone. Boo-hoo, Don. Boo-frickin'-who. Karaoke bar, you are by far the Gapster's favorite. Kate Collective groan. Steph, no touchy-touchy angel. Namaste, bitches. Who the hell is Pat? Justify. Justify.
Oh my God.
Not bad for a cold read, if I do say so myself.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Thank you very much for that, Claudine, although that is not your real name, although I love that. And,
probably.
We'll do another audio feedback. And here we go. Who's this?
Hey, Potential Cast. This message is about Into the Woods. So if you have not watched yet, do not listen. This is Heidi calling. And
Heidi!
I think this is like the best episode ever. Really, it's gone. Oh, thank goodness. Were you freaking out a little bit when Riley staked Spike? Because I was the first time I watched it. You knew that Spike, like, couldn't actually turn to dust. At least you hoped not. But this is a Joss Whedon show, so you never know. And sometimes Xander gives good advice, but definitely not this time. And I love Giles' sign at the Magic Box. Winter Solstice, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Gurren-Sar's Ascendants are coming. Way to get in on that capitalism there, Giles. And Anya just really is at her best. She's very snarky in this episode. And she and Xander are really, really terrible babysitters. Did we not get enough of the Buffy and Riley sex in Where the Wild Things Are? They last a lifetime. And I thought that there was some cute stuff with Buffy and Joyce. And, yeah. Riley really went to a high-class establishment there, didn't he? I think that Spike actually thought that Buffy would just, like, fall into his arms or something. I'm not sure exactly what he was expecting. He wasn't expecting her to just kind of happen by. But anyway, that's my thoughts. Hopefully you're all extremely excited, and I can't wait to hear what you thought. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Heidi.
Yeah, I got my DVDs out. I was watching the featurettes on this disc, and there was a featurette about casting, and they talked about why they cast, what's Joyce's name?
Christine Sutherland.
Christine Sutherland. It's because they thought she looked like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Because of Heidi's feedback, I have a question. If Xander didn't talk to Buffy, how do you think that this would have ended, and would it be better for Buffy overall looking back on the relationship?
Well, I'm worried she's going to be all regretful that Riley left now.
She's going to be a sad sack for the next couple episodes.
Ugh. Can we skip those?
No, you don't want to, trust me. I'm envious of whoever gets to be on the show with you next week.
Ooh.
You mean in 4 months?
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Next week will be cute.
I wouldn't wait to watch this episode, because once I finished watching Into the Woods and I saw on Netflix what the next episode was, I didn't rewatch it right away, Into the Woods, like I normally do when getting ready for a podcast. I was like, no, I got to watch this. And I just had to watch the next episode. It was so good.
Do you want me to read Andrew Ingram's feedback?
Yes.
Okay. Andrew says, "Hey y'all." On Big Bang Theory this week, Leonard tried to get Penny into nerd culture by showing her Buffy the Vampire Slayer episodes. She was, if possible, even less impressed with the show than y'all are. Oh well, wow. At least they described the show's concept and played the theme song accurately. Andrew.
I don't know. I think Penny would like Buffy.
No, she didn't. I saw it.
I know, but she should like Buffy. Wait, did you get spoiled on anything?
No.
Okay, good.
No, they do make a joke that doesn't spoil anybody anything. I mean, I was watching it with somebody that's seen it all. And as soon as they mentioned Buffy, not even kidding you, I put my fingers in my ears.
But let's talk about this. Okay, Andrew, you assume that Gak is not impressed with Buffy, but all these intro casts that I've participated in and listened to, it's just when you're going episode by episode, you nitpick things and you look at things deeper than if you were just watching any other way. Right, guys?
Yeah, I mean, It'd be interesting to have a straw poll to see how many people, when they watch a TV show for the first time and are not podcasting about it, how many of them take notes?
Yeah.
How many of them watch an episode twice?
Season one of the X-Files, I had no idea it was that bad.
Wow.
That was great.
Well, I think what happens is people, like, if you're watching something for the first time that's been on for a jillion years, and everybody's been telling you for a jillion years that, oh my God, it's such an amazing show, it's fantastic, and you start watching it, and you're thinking, this is supposed to be great, and you're like, this is not good. Why are people saying this is great? When people say stuff like that, and I think it sucks, it kind of gives me the initiative to want to keep watching it to see why. I'm like, well, it's got to get better. People keep saying it's wonderful, so it's got to get better at some point, right? Before it goes bad, because that's what happens. It always gets great and then jumps and then the shark and goes on longer than it should.
Yeah, the showrunner leaves, somebody else takes over, and it goes to crap. But when you're watching a whole DVD, when you have the whole DVD set, you sit down and you watch until you get to a satisfactory place.
Yeah.
You never stop on a bad episode and think, oh, that was weak.
I agree with you, except for this one case. What was the extra short season of Sex and the City?
Oh, season 6, part 1.
Okay. Can I just say that I was... All right. Full disclosure. I hope everyone understands the references on Redemption Cast to 90s Robin. is all about the ganja. In the early 2000s, I was smoking a lot of weed, and we would get together, myself and my spouse and our very good friend, and we had for that season a marathon and watched every single episode nonstop of Sex and the City in a bluish green haze. And we didn't have a TV. We were watching it off the DVD-ROM on my Mac G4 tower with my 15-inch monitor. Yep. Those were the days. I should have invested all that money.
You paid for DVDs we of rented Sex them. In the City?
Yeah, we rented them.
I'm so confused. Oh, okay, you rented them.
Yeah, this is when like video rental was still a thing, and yeah,
Blockbuster.
It was awesome. So I can totally understand the whole getting a whole thing of DVDs and not wanting to stop until you're kind of somehow satisfied, or being so stoned that you don't stop at all. So
or,
yeah,
that or happens you get sometimes. The flu and then you watch the entire series of Supernatural in. In no time, because that's all you do.
That's the one thing that really sucks about having children, is that I can't just lose myself in a TV show for like a day and a half.
You know, I have so much that I want to watch, and I think, I wish I had a day where I didn't have anything to do so I could just see it and watch all of Hemlock Grove.
Yep.
But if I had a day where I was free, I would feel completely guilty that I didn't get up and go do something.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I was recently very sick and unable to do anything but lay in bed and watch TV and just completely rot. And I was so frustrated because I wanted to get out of bed. Now, I have had the marathon viewing of various DVD sets, and I absolutely love it. But that is a special time, and I will say that there is such a thing as too much.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't ever want to be sick again.
Agreed. Hey, we have more feedback.
Okay, where are we at?
I have some audio feedback here.
Yay!
Last audio feedback.
I guess we should be thankful that I want to show you something. It wasn't followed by the sound of a fly opening. Hey, yes, it's Paul Mackey from the Freezer Room, working serious overtime this weekend, calling in about Into the Woods. Perhaps Sticky Bun or Four? I wonder if Illyria will be putting any Sondheim at the end of this episode. Well, now you know why Tabitha Grace Smith's fan fiction anthology podcast is called Strangely Literal, though you just aren't allowed to listen to it. Mm-hmm. Arson of an abandoned slum is still arson. That whole prostitution parallel you guys mentioned is pretty directly referenced. I won't quote directly, but Spike is pretty graphic about the vampires using their mouths on Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Riley is pretty messed up. I don't see how he gets any fraction of a pass on this whole thing. I don't have much to say about the big vamp brawl other than, hey, if you're a vampire, maybe it would be best to hit the Slayer with a nice pipe or crowbar instead of something she can directly use to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't bring your own stake.
Anyways, I think we all knew this episode had to happen, but I wonder if you all found it as anticlimactic as I did. I'm going back to work. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul has a good point, by the way, that I forgot to mention. It's not just that Riley's getting his blood sucked. He's, like, half naked, and she's completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
Skeezy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why do they have to take their clothes off to do that?
Yeah, that's pathetic. Riley is pathetic.
Yep.
Good riddance.
Mm-hmm. How about I read something from Emily? Okay. Emily is like Gack.
She's watching
Hello,
it along
Gax
with us?
And pardon?
She's watching it along with us for the first time?
I do believe that's what I understood from my skimming. Let's see All if right. I'm right. Emily says, Hello, Gax and guest. That's you, Nutty.
Hi.
I've never written in before. I'm a newbie that has been watching with you guys for over a year now, maybe
Yay.
More.
Yay.
I lose track. So do we.
It's been 2 years.
Guess what? It's going to be 3 years very soon.
Oh my gosh.
I've commented on the Facebook page a few times, but have never written in. I found your podcast through the Twin Peaks podcast. They mentioned you from time to time, and I eventually thought I'd give Buffy a go and your podcast along with it. Well, thank you, Emily, and thank you very much, Matt, Mel, Brad, and Caitlin of the Twin Peaks podcast, a podcast that had the courtesy to ask us for permission before ripping off our format. You hear that, intro casts everywhere?
Give us credit, damn it.
Yes. It's called a loving homage. Mm-hmm. And I do believe you get enough credit whenever somebody mentions something about Buffy or edits out the Buffy spoilers.
That's awesome. Aww. That's awesome. I didn't stay in line with the Twin Peaks podcast and watch the show on my own schedule and pass them up after about a third of the series and then just listened to the new episodes as they came out. I realized it wasn't as much fun to have watched the episode they were on months before and therefore knew what was going to happen next as they commented and theorized. So I was determined to stay on pace when I started Potential Cast. Oh my God. We're sorry, is what I would say. Okay. Well, I've kept my word, and it's getting super hard to keep that promise, which is why I find myself writing in tonight. I am literally writing this now to keep myself from watching ahead this very minute. I am thinking that season 5 must be my favorite season so far because it is the only time I am really having a hard time not just plowing through the season. I never leave feedback because I haven't seen the episode yet, so last week I decided it would be okay to be one show ahead so I could actually write my feelings about the episode you're discussing that day. I have no idea when you're recording the last episode I watched. You may have already recorded it, or maybe you haven't even watched it yet, so I will write in next time. I watched Triangle tonight, so that's where I am. That's the next one. Okay. A few of my feelings on the show so far. I never cared for Bangle, not one bit. Buffy is not my favorite character, but I wouldn't say I dislike her. Riley was insufferable. Please be gone for good. I just may be warming up to Tara, but it was hard Juan. She irritated me greatly for a while there. I love Willow, love Xander, love Giles, love Spike. Man, I love Spike. I actually love that he is in love with Buffy. Possibly my favorite storyline yet. He is totally love's bitch. And I found that very endearing ever since Lover's Walk. Fool for Love really sealed the deal, though. How did none of you quote this line? Quickly, I'm the very spirit of vexation. He says the first moments we glimpse him human. I about died laughing. The line combined with his manner and everything about human Spike was funny and brilliant. And hello, Subway Punk Spike with eyeliner. Who could resist? Wanna hurt Buffy for being so mean to him? She is really mean to him. Urgh. Not sure how many of us there are that are keeping up with you guys and not watching ahead. Just wanted to let you know I'm here, listening every week. I'm following along with Angel as well. It's okay. Angel definitely got my attention with the trial. I haven't seen the next episode yet. That's what I should be doing right now. I am so far resisting temptation on not watching on, but it's testing my limits, I tell you. Wish I had watched ahead on this podcast and followed along with Twin Peaks instead. Love Twin Peaks, but you know, two seasons versus seven seasons and all. Take care. Really enjoying your show. Emily in Utah. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Wow. Yeah, solidarnosc.
The season is going to start to ramp up soon. Mm-hmm. It's going to get really exciting.
Also, cool. No one can resist Spike looking like Billy Idol. Because Billy Idol, yeah.
Dancing with himself.
Alicia Brady says, ding dong, Riley's gone. Get out of here with your man-child hair. Ding ding, 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 Riley's gone.
Wow.
Carol. Yes. Hi, Gax Plus One. This is not an episode that I enjoy overall because the behavior of Riley and Xander annoys me so much. However, it does have a scene I love. Spike messing with Riley's head while they share a bottle of booze. In that scene, Spike is walking such a fine line, exploiting and expanding on Riley's insecurities, while at the same time being sure not to say something that would push Riley into actually dusting him. Admittedly, the fake-out Spike staking and at the beginning of the scene comes off a little cheesy. I thought it came out a little plasticky myself, Carol, but okay. But it does show how low Riley has sunk, that he would do something like that. It also tweaked an audience that was very worried that Joss was going to kill off Spike. That's true. I don't dislike Riley as much as most people seem to, because I always saw him as the guy who was set up to be totally unrelatable for the outsider Buffy audience. He was the popular jock, a Mr. Perfect construct, who ultimately could not handle a girlfriend who was stronger than he was, and was almost destroyed by his inability to accept that reality. He is pretty much a metaphor for a rigid, chauvinistic society, and it was definitely time for him to leave. Hear, hear, Carol!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a show about outsiders. This is the Scoobies are not the popular kids. They don't sit at the popular table. And that is the thing that bugs me about Riley. Riley is the jock, cool guy, popular Mr. Football, you know?
Yeah.
That's why he never fit. Go ahead.
Which of the Scoobies is Pony Boy?
Xander.
Maybe. And then there is Xander. I often do not like Xander as a person or a friend. This is one of those times I may relate too personally to Buffy and her scene with Xander because I have been on the receiving end of similar confrontations in real life. But that is one of the great things about the show. It holds these things up in front of us and urges us to make the judgment. To me, Riley is being totally unfair and Xander is too blinded by his relationship to Riley to find out what is really going on. A big part of me does not want Buffy to fall for what Xander is selling and hates to see Buffy run after Riley. But I have to admit that it is probably the most realistic outcome. We may not want to see Buffy fall into the common traps girls, women fall into, but it does illustrate the traps we all too often fall into. You've been doing a great job. Keep it going. Carol. Thank you, Carol. Yeah.
Thanks, Carol. Good
for
point.
All the pressure.
Carol reminds me, you guys didn't react to Riley flying away and Buffy in the background and him not looking out the stupid window.
Well, my understanding is he didn't hear her.
Yeah, but... You did not hear her.
Duh.
Every time you've ever been on a plane, do you just, like, look stoically?
Yes, every day.
The inside of the cockpit? Like, you don't look out the window?
Daily.
Yeah.
Tell us, Kim, who's on helicopters every day.
Do you ever look down, wondering if somebody's yelling at you, Kimmy, I love you?
Honestly, some days I just fall asleep.
Because you broadcasted the night before and you had to wake up at 4:30?
Yes. No, but I was. When I watched it, I did. I'm like, look down, you idiot. I was screaming it. I was.
That's awesome. All right.
But I was laughing at him just standing there looking around, and then the helicopter starts up. I'm like, this is pathetic. But hey, it's a TV show.
Thanks for your feedback, everyone. There are a lot of comments on Facebook, but we're already way into this episode.
Yeah. Kim, we have to get up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And we have something else to record. So keep them coming. And we do appreciate it. We do read everything, but it's actually impossible for us to read everything on the show. I think it's time for us to rate this episode.
Illyrio, you go first.
All right. Riley's gone. Xander declared his true love to Anya. Willow was cute. There was no Tara. Dawn was barely in this. I know at the end, though, Buffy chases after Riley. So, but I don't like her anyway. I'm going to give this episode 7 out of 10 really loud helicopters.
I really liked this episode. I liked it a lot. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 vampire crack whores.
Nice.
Whoa.
I really enjoyed this episode.
It's got real.
That's just because Riley's gone.
No, not really. Well, in a way, but I like the fact that he actually got to say what he wanted to say to Buffy. And Buffy, this sounds great. Buffy had to sit there and take that. It sounds so wrong, but she had to listen to him. And she got it. And she got it from Xander too. So that's why I was like, "Oh, this is gonna sound so wrong." But yeah, I was like,
ugh. Phrasing.
Yeah, I know. But it's like Buffy right now, for the past little bit, has been my least favorite character. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that everybody was sort of like, open up your goddamn eyes, Buffy! Finally. I was like, yes! Yes! Like, I was screaming! My TV screen. All right, I'm done.
Gabby.
Who's next? Gabby?
So, I think I was incredibly vocal before that I think this is a big fucking mess of an episode, and it's over with Riley, so yay, now we can move on to the next thing. And you know what? I missed that there was no Glory stuff in this episode. I missed her. So I'm hoping she'll come back and we'll see her next time. But I don't care if I ever watch this episode again because I don't know if I could handle it emotionally at the end. The last 3 minutes slays me both times I saw it. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess I'm going to give it 3 out of 10.
Wow.
Crappy wigs.
Oh.
Ooh.
That is harsh.
It's like season one of Angel harsh.
What was your score? I missed it. Say it again.
3 out of 10 crappy wigs.
3?
Yeah. Yep, I really, honest to God, I don't know. Again, don't know if it's because I'm necessary. I mean, I watched it the first time after we recorded last time. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it today and I was kind of tired and stuff. But I just couldn't. It was all over the place. It was ridiculous. It was way too melodramatic. But then the heartfelt stuff at the end is what reeled me in. If it wasn't for the heartfelt stuff at the very, very end, I wouldn't have given this anything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, for me, on one hand, I'm glad Riley's gone. On the other hand, and I think it was, if you like melodramatic, I think it was a good episode. But like for me, I want to be like cheering and be upbeat and be celebratory about Riley leaving, and for it to be so melodramatic, that's such a big conflicting mood to me. But overall, to me, the reason Riley and Buffy aren't working seems very contrived, and I don't buy it. And so because of that, I give it 6 out of 10. Good riddances.
Nice.
What do you think, Duchess?
Well, this isn't one of the funnier episodes. You know, it's not filled with lots of wisecracking and things like that, which is what I love about Buffy.
Yeah.
But I do think it's an important arc for the show and for Buffy's relationship. I think it's important that Buffy realized that she was taking advantage. She was not taking advantage. She was taking Riley for granted. And I think that had she just let him leave without trying, she'd end up blaming herself more in the long run, and it'd be more damaging. Whereas at least now she knows she tried, and she tried to hold on to something. And the whole Xander thing I loved because, you know, I was getting progressively annoyed at Xander and his treatment of Anya, and then he goes and he does that whole speech, and you're like, oh, Xander. But I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 chicken's feet with painted toenails.
Very cool.
Cute.
That's what we thought. Call us with your thoughts. 270-40-BUFFY. Send us an email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
Check out our website, PotentialCast.com. We have individual pages set up, blogs for the previous seasons. Season 4 still has to be done, but we have 1, 2, and 3 already set up. You can join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/potentialcast. I want to take this time to thank our guest before we get into quotes. Nutty, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate having you on. Where can we listen to you?
You can find me and everything that I do over at nimlas.org, NIMLAS.org, where you can find my podcast, the Nutty Bites podcast, and the other podcasts that I am a participator of, a regular co-host, and so forth. Awesome. There's a few of them.
It's
Nutty
quote
Bites
time.
Is awesome. I may have been on it once.
It's quote time. And I'm going first.
It may have been accidentally deleted.
Then I was never on it.
Yes, it was an H2 fail, but we'll get you back on. Especially if you go to Balticon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Balticon.
What's H2?
Right. It's my mobile recorder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an H2 Zoom. There's like the H4, the H2, and a couple other models. And basically, it can do surround sound, and it's amazing. It's basically what reporters in the field now use. And it's like $80. It's awesome.
Wow.
I shall have one.
One day.
All right, I have to do this because I'm already standing up. Riley!
No worries, no one was going to steal that quote.
I had to go first just in case.
Can I go next? Because I don't want somebody to steal mine.
Go right ahead.
And this is also one of my favorites because it is the opening to Tabs' podcast. I dislike that Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal. What? No one says that. No one talks that way.
Gabby, what was the one you're going to give me?
Oh, I said through the whole do the whole Xander thing that makes me cry so I can cry for you.
Oh, no.
If you want, I can copy and paste it into the chat.
And I'll sob.
Good luck. Don't die tonight. What was that one?
Have a nice day. Try not to die.
That's mine, guys.
Oh, no. Have a nice day. Don't get killed.
Save the Xander one, Gabby.
Okay. Let me do this again because I can't read. I've got to say something because I don't know if I've made it clear. I'm in love with you. Powerfully, painfully in love. The things you do, the way you think, the way you move, I get excited every time I see you. You make me feel like I've never felt before in my life, like a man. I just thought you might want to know.
Guys, if you're listening, go tell your girls right now how you feel.
That's right. Or your boys.
Fellas, tell your ladies how you feel about them.
Every time you show up like this, you risk all your parts. You know that? I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a good reason. As usual, I'm here to help you. And are you naked under there? Get out.
Hold on. Love that. Wait. Point of order. I don't think Spike ever said naked. Naked. But I'll let that one pass.
Who are you, Justin Timberlake?
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
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 There are words to the song?
I never knew that
words to the song? Whatever. All right.
Wow.
Thanks, Nutty.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ending recording now.
Awesome.
Let's welcome Mr. Richie Haven.
Freedom. like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Yeah, long, long, long way, way from my home. Yeah, yeah. Clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands.
You know what was dreamy was all those pillows on the bed.
It's a beautiful bed.
Here's a candid question for you ladies.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm being sexist right now, so I apologize in advance.
We understand.
Thank you. What are you supposed to do with those pillows that are on the bed, like when you actually want to go to bed? Like, you just put them on the floor?
You just, swipe them to go onto the floor.
You put them in that chair that you put all your laundry in before you put it up, you know?
I use all the pillows on my bed, so they don't go anywhere. I don't have decorative pillows.
Yeah, I don't have draining pillows.
I do have multiple pillows, though, as my husband likes to say. It's like, how can you tell you're living with a woman? How many pillows are on your bed? One, two. Holy crap!
Hey, Matt, what part of the country are you in?
I am in Canada.
Yeah.
I am in New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, what? I knew that.
But I'm originally from New York.
Long Island?
Long Island.
Where is New Brunswick at?
New Brunswick is east of Quebec.
North of Maine.
Oh.
Yeah.
The one syllable state. It's the only one.
I was just realizing that. Yeah, it really is the only one syllable state, isn't it?
We're back. Ready for round two.
Early morning yesterday, I was up before the dawn.
Hello, intro to... wrong show. Hey, Jack. Feedback for, listening to Fear? I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. You know what? I don't get people who hate Buffy. I do get the Joyce hate because she was a bad mother. But you see in this episode where they both love and want to take care of Dawn, even though they both know she's not their sibling slash daughter. And what Buffy has to go through, if she's whiny once in a while, it's okay. She's just a teenage girl. People are too hard on Buffy. I never got the Buffy hate. Whiny Willow in the beginning, however, kind of annoyed me. I want to call Buffy. Shut the fuck up, all right? Go lay with your boring girlfriend and just shut up. All right, guys. It was Michael, by the way. I haven't called in a while. God, I miss you guys. Bye.
Hey, gang. Paul Mackey. So let's see. I've totally failed to call in for Shadow, which I'm sure you noticed. But I do have. I can tell you what notes I had on the page here. I didn't actually end up doing a whole, composed voicemail for it. But I have Buckwheat Pillow, Snakey Wakey, better snake than Electric Screwdriver Guy, and Tick Freaking Talk, which I don't know exactly why I wrote that part down. But anyways. All right, so on to Listening to Fear. So, okay, this episode has plenty of serious raw emotion and limping cattle, but as per my norm, I'll try to stupid this up a bit. Joyce seems to reference net sports a lot between the joking volleyball quip early on and the tennis raving later. Now I have to pause a moment and think whether that has any spoiler foreshadowing, but no, I don't think so. I mean, some overzealous fan probably has a theory, but anyway. I'm not going to spoil, like, Joyce about those crosswalk buttons. Do all hospitals have big rooms with a single bed where people wait days for a procedure? What do you think, Steph? And also, hey, guys, what do you think about the demon in sort of a ripoff, kind of a creature fashion show? Odd having a critter just performing alternative folk. Oh, wait, no, that's the Ben Quella demon. Okay, so part roach, part lamprey, part dolphin. Nasty little space lamp. Oh, nope, don't want to steal a quote from anyone. Funny, though. In point of fact, it was Ben's Quella demon, so is that a pun that they were choosing to do? I don't know how long he's been around. Okay, anyway, that verges on talking actual content, so I'll wrap this up. There was one more thing I wanted to take care of. What was it? Oh, yeah.
Hey, Gax and guests. This is Heidi, and this message is for the listening sphere. So, the crazy people really are freaking me out in this episode. Yeah, the Quella demon's not exactly their best demon ever, but it's sufficiently creepy. Riley's just, he makes me so mad. I just, at this point, I just wanted to die. So Willow with the dust in two vamps, awesome. She could be a slayer even, except for that whole when the adrenaline rush leaves and then she kind of gets a little weak to me. I know that some of you were probably rolling your eyes during the whole constellation scene with the big pineapple. I just thought it was cute. So I think that this is a crossover with the X-Files, and I was waiting for Mulder and Scully to show up, but they weren't there unless maybe they were lurking around in the woods somewhere. And that was really, it was kind of funny when they get home with Joyce and they turn off all the lights, which I understand because she wanted it to be dark, but why did it have to be dark in every room in the house that she wasn't in? And then even like when Buffy's doing the dishes later, it's so dark. And by the way, about the dishes, was Buffy using palm olive to do dishes? Just, wondering. So do you guys think the Joyce is going to be okay? I know Illyrio doesn't. And fight in the basement is just hilarious, and his whole stalkerishness just makes me laugh. Anyway, that's my thoughts on this episode, and I can't wait to hear yours. Bye.